Good morning. How's everybody doing? It's good to have you. Are y'all here? How are you doing? We just got our worship on, right? Yeah, man, they did just an awesome job again. And, you know, when I asked Leslie to do that, for some reason during this week, that Psalms came to my mind, just thinking how majestic and just going along with what this new series is going to be about in terms of God speaking to us. And so I'm really glad that you're here. When God speaks, do we listen? Do we believe that God is still speaking to us today? That's a question that we need to be able to answer introspectively in our own heart, in our own faith, in our belief that God is in the business of talking to us every single day. You know, as a pastor, one of the questions that I get all the time that people will ask is, how do you know for sure if it is the Lord that is speaking? Does God still speak to us today? The Bible is actually filled with lots of stories of God speaking to his people. But when so many people began to ask that question, is God still speaking to us today? Why does God speak to some people but not speak to me? Why is it that I can't seem to hear God talking to me? So what's the problem? Did God just stop speaking to his church today? Did he stop speaking after the apostles died out? What's going on? Does God just only speak to just famous Christian authors and speakers or people that are on TV or that has written 20 books or is in a circuit speaking engagement all around the nation? Is it just those people that God is speaking to, these men and women? Does God have laryngitis? Why can't I hear him speak? Is God still speaking to us today? What's going on today? Why can't I at times hear God speak on a regular basis? In Job 33:14, he says this, "For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it." And later on, it goes through 14 and 16, God speaks in a variety of different ways. And what I would like to be able to do during this series is I would like for us to be able to know that God is still speaking to his church on a daily basis. He has something to say to each and every single one of us. But what's going on? Why can't I hear God speak at times in my life? What direction do I need to go? How is he speaking to me? Is he speaking through people? Is he speaking through his word? Is he speaking through circumstances? Is he speaking through dreams? Is he speaking through all different ways? How is God going to get you to be able to hear him? And the answer may surprise you. Why can't we hear him at times? It's because oftentimes in our life, we are just not tuned in to what God wants to talk to us about. We live very busy lives. We wake up, we go to work, we work our 8 to 12 hour jobs, we come home, we're exhausted, we have to take care of families, we're cooking, we do all the things that we got to get done, and before you know it, it's 10:30 at night. Where was God speaking to us? Why am I not hearing him throughout my day? It could be the fact that maybe it's possible that also our faith may be a stumbling block. It may be that our faith is non-existent. You know that everybody that comes to church, not everybody is a believer. And the people that do come to church, not everybody is a believer. Even though they may say that they're a believer, but do you believe that God is still speaking to you as a believer? Even as Christians, we struggle with our faith. And so how do I know for sure? And there are so many different voices out there that gets in the way that we're listening to. So how did we distinguish between God's voice, my voice, someone else's voice, media, social media, all the different things out there? How do I distinguish what's coming from God and what's coming from other sources? This morning, I want to take us to Scripture, and you can go ahead and start turning there to Exodus chapter 3. The Bible tells us that we need to hear His voice and distinguish His voice for three main reasons. Number one, it will prove that you are a child of God. If you are hearing God's voice, then you should be able to say, I know that that is coming from God, because God and I have this relationship. He says that my sheep hear my voice, Jesus says in John 8:47, because He what? He belongs to me. The number two reason, it will protect you from many mistakes. Job is going through many, many trials, many different things that are happening in his life. And Job 33 discusses the different mistakes that we make, that we may have to endure. And God has something to say to us during that time as well. And the third thing is, it is the key to a productive and abundant life. The things that go on in life must be tested with our wisdom and discernment to know that God is the one that's speaking to us. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. He will make your paths right. The famous Jeremiah 29:11, Jesus declares, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. How in the world can He do this if He's not speaking to us? And so for us to be able to know His plan, for us to be able to prosper, for us to have this comfort, to know that He would never harm us because He loves us, to know that He has a hope and a future for our plan, we have to understand, just like any other relationship that you have with someone here today, that they're got to be speaking to you. So you know these things. So you'll know what to do. You'll know how to guide your own life. And God is no different, because He is the Father of each and every one of us that wants to give us a plan and a purpose for our life. And how often do we say, speak, Lord, I'm listening to you. And then not have any doubt that it's actually Him talking to you. As I set this up, I want to make sure that you know, church family, if you are truly a believer, then I want you to truly believe this. Don't take my word for it. It's in the Bible. If you are a true believer in Christ, I want you to walk out of here today knowing that God has a word for you, and that God is always speaking to you. You are not insignificant. You are not just down here, just doing your own thing. He doesn't know where you are, what you're doing, and doesn't have a plan for your life. I promise you, the Bible tells us that God is speaking to us. Now, the Bible tells us that if we want to hear God's voice, then we must do something. And it's not something that each and every one of us all the time want to do. Because doing this means that we cannot be in control. Doing this means that God has to be a little bit higher than where we want Him to be in our life. And so for the things that we must do is that we must start off being humble. We must start off being contrite. We must start off broken. Our attitude of submission. If we're going to ever hear God speak to us, then we got to know who's actual master and Lord of our life. If you don't want to hear God speak to you, stay where you are in your own life. Run your own life. Do whatever you want to do. And don't humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor." We must come to him. Blessed are those who are poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You got to be broken. You got to be bankrupt. You got to be in a place that's prostrate, down on your knees, humble before God every day if you want to be able to hear God. Because if you're running your own life and God's not a part of it, you will never hear him. You just won't. It won't happen. So we must surrender and advance to him. And I can't think, as I go through this series, of a great example of that, of Moses' life. And we look at Moses' life into really actually three main phases of his life. You have 40 years in Pharaoh's court that Moses is going to be basically learning to be anybody. Then you go to the next 40 years where he's going to be in the wilderness, out in the desert, running and trying to do the things that God is wanting him to do, but really he's learning to be really a nobody. And then he spends his final 40 years becoming God's somebody. I think in our life we often learn that we don't want to be anybody. Especially in middle school, it's funny when I go to our dance at my school, it's funny to watch anyone who's trying just to become anybody. And anyone that looks somewhat popular, they begin to take off, and of course they're dancing and doing their thing, and then you have this big old long line that's falling behind them. And no matter where that guy goes or that girl goes, you have a line full of other people that are following him. And he could literally take those people all over the place. I tell new teachers, "You want to see something cool?" And they said, "Yeah, watch." I said, "Watch this." And literally, they'll sit there and just watch this person. I said, "Why don't you just watch this guy and watch how many people are going to just follow this person everywhere?" And just like sheep, they just go wherever they're just supposed to go. And our world is filled with sheep. Just following whatever looks like it's appealing. Learning to be anybody. And then all of a sudden, God gets a hold of our life. And we need to humble ourselves and realize, we're not anybody. I mean, we're special to God, but we're just sinful people. Humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. And he will bring honor to allow you to be a somebody. To be a somebody. And here we take this part in this scripture where he's two-thirds into the life. Moses is 80 years old. Think about where you are right now at your age. 80 years old at this point of his life. He's at the end of his 40 years in the desert. God is approaching him. And he's got something to say. And Moses is just kind of minding his own business, doing his own thing right now. And as we look at Exodus chapter 3, let me just take you to the scene of where we're at. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of the Midian. And he led his flock afar into the wilderness, and he came to Sinai, the mountain of God. And there an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. And Moses stared in amazement. I would have done the same thing. Though the bush was not engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." And when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." One of the times that you see God actually mention the name twice. He does this several times in the book of the Bible, mentioning someone's name twice. What is it for? "I know you. I know you. Here I am," Moses replied. And God says, "Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. And I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And when Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. I mean, I want you to picture the scene right now. What would you be thinking in your head right now? What would be going on in your life? I mean, you got Moses that is just minding his own business. He's just herding sheep. He's been doing this day in and day out of his life, just like you are going into your job, day in, day out, just doing life. And all of a sudden, he sees something that he's never seen before. He's heard something that he's never heard before. And in your life and in your Christian life, it's going to happen. You're going to see something. You're going to see God show up in your life. And if you're willing to walk towards him, he has something to say. And if you'll move over, flip a page to chapter 4. God was telling him different things. I have an assignment for you. There's some things I want you to do. Can I ask you, church family, is there something that God is wanting you to do, but you're still whining about it? You're still giving excuses of why you shouldn't and why you can't do what God is asking you to do? And here Moses is giving all these reasons why he should not do what he needs him to do. And as we begin to look at Exodus chapter 4, verse 2, God begins to speak to Moses. Verse 2. Then the Lord asked him, "What is that in your hand?" Church family, this may be the second most important question that God will ever ask you in your life. What is in your hand? The first most important question he'll ever ask you in your life comes at the end of this message. The second most important question that God will ask you in your life is, what is in your hand? And the reason why is because he's going to ask Moses this question to make sure that he has a clear understanding of who he is and what his true assignment is. And here Moses is in the wilderness. He's tending his sheep. He's doing his job. He sees this burning bush. He walks up to it. He hears the voice. And God says, "Moses, this is holy ground. Take off your sandals. Get your Nikes off. Get your Adidas off. Get your Curries off right now. You are standing on holy ground." And he asked the question, "What is in your hand?" A magical podium. Now, I had a hard time finding a shepherd's staff here in Garland. So this is about as close as I could get. And Moses said in verse 2, "It's just a stick. It's just a shepherd's staff. It's nothing." And God, obviously, do you think he might have known the question? Do you think he might have known the answer to that question? I think he probably knew pretty well that this was just a stick. And verse 3 goes on and says, "Throw it down on the ground." God says, "Throw it down on the ground." So Moses threw it down. Oftentimes in life, we stop right there because we think about what God may be asking us to do, and we are like, we give every excuse and reason that that's not what his voice is saying. Surely he doesn't want me to throw it on the ground because he knows that I need this. Surely he doesn't want me to go this direction because he knows that I need this. Surely he's not asking me to go on this assignment. He knows that my desire is to really do this. And God says, throw it down on the ground. So he throws it down and it becomes a what? Y'all read the story? It becomes a what? Becomes a snake. Something that was a stick, a staff, now, something that was a staff and a stick that is dead, that's not alive, it's just what it is, now comes alive when he threw it down on the ground. How many of you guys would do that? So Moses goes and he leans over and he picks it up by the tail. If it's a snake, I'm not doing it. He could pretty much ask me to do anything else. But if that was a snake, I don't know if I could have done it. I don't even like playful snakes that much. So Charlton Heston, he leans over. He picks it up. Once he picks up the snake, it dies and becomes a what? Staff again. Now that's a crazy story. Two verses, and that took me about 10 minutes to get there. But imagine the story. I imagine it probably took a little bit of time for him to say, throw it down, pick it up, throw it, you know, trying to listen. And you know what? Things take time. Sometimes it takes time to be able to say, are you kidding me? Because you're giving all the excuses of why you shouldn't do what God is asking us to do. And sometimes he's going to tell us to do things that we are not going to want to do because it seems absolutely ridiculous. What is the point of this? Why would he tell us this crazy story? What is the point? I mean, if there's all, he's just minding his business and you're just minding your business. You're just going to school. You're just going to work. You're serving the community. You're just trying to watch a little TV. And God is trying to speak to you. Fire, a talking burning tree, a snake, pick it up, throw it down, pick it back up. That is a crazy story. And two things we need to understand in this part. One is that every single time that God performs a miracle, he's not showing off. See, that's not his style. Every time God is doing a miracle in your life, he's not showing off. When God shows up and begins to work in your life, it's for a plan, it's for a purpose. Why? Because Jeremiah 29:11 says that he has a hope for your future. He wants to prosper you. He wants to be able to build in your life. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And the other thing is this, is he's always, always teaching us a lesson. He's always teaching us a lesson. And if we don't understand what the lesson is, then it's all in void. If we don't understand why Jesus performed the miracle and understand the lesson behind it, then we've missed the whole point. And how many people have been receiving a miracle in their life or things have happened and we just say, man, that's a great doctor. Wonderful medicine. Oh, that's all me. I'm the one that God gave me the brain, so I'm the smart one. I was able to accomplish that. We give every reason and excuse why it cannot be God in working in our life. He's doing miracles every day. So when God asks you a question, he wants to make sure that you know the answer. God knew the answer to the question, what is in your hand? He knew the answer. What he's trying to find out is, do you, Moses, know what's in your hand? Do you, church, know what's in your hand? Do you know? See, God knew already for 1,000 years before Moses was born what would be in his hand. The staff represented three things. It represented his identity, it represented his income, and it represented his influence. Church family, three things that we are going to deal with every single day of our life. We're going to deal with our identity, we're going to deal with our income, and we're going to deal with our influence. His identity, the staff represents who he is. There's things that you do that represents who you are. There's a symbol that you carry in your life that represents who you are. And oftentimes you may have that on your card and say, this is who I am. If I was to ask you, if I'm wearing scrubs, what would you say that I am in? What field? Medical field. If I wore a bulletproof vest, if I had a gun on my side, what would I be? A what? Law enforcement, police officer. If I was wearing a dark suit, a cool hat, had little wings on my collar, what would I be? A pilot. Good. We're getting good. If I was wearing Dockers and a polo, what would I be? It could be anything. If I was wearing a cow outfit, who would I work for? Judy? Chick-fil-A. Now we're getting good. The staff with the crooked end was a symbol of who he was. What was he? He was a shepherd. His income in those days, a person's wealth of how many animals you have, would show what type of wealth you carried and what kind of wealth you had. Can I ask you guys, how many of you guys have more than two animals? Raise your hand. Awesome. Everybody, wait a second. Keep those hands up. These are the ones that are going to be given the largest tithes. Just so you know. The ones with the most animals give the most. They're the wealthiest. That's what it was back in that day. So your whole income was based off this. If you had a lot of livestock, you were actually rich. If you only had a little bit of livestock, you were just doing well. If you had none, like me, I have no animals, and that's why I'm poor. The third thing that this represents, the staff represents his influence. What do you use your staff for? It's to move people. It's to nudge his sheep. It's to pull them in a certain direction. It's to guide them. It's to nudge them. As a shepherd, you would know what your staff was for because you would be using it all the time. What's in your hands? What are you using to nudge and influence and make an impact in your world that you're living in as a Christian? God says, I want you to lay it down. Matter of fact, he says, I want you to throw it down. And when you give it all over to him, he'll ask you to pick it up, and it will come alive. It will come alive. But it will be his miracle. It will be his idea. It will be his plan. It will be his purpose for what is going to happen in your life. Never in a million years did I ever think that I would be doing this. This was not my plan. Anyone that ever knew me speaking in front of people, this was never my plan at all. And you may be saying the same thing in your life. This was never my plan to do whatever it is that God is leading you to do. And how many years and how many times did I give the excuse why I can't and why I shouldn't and why I won't, God? And God will tell you, I will speak through you. I will help you along the way. Why? Because trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And you don't have to lead on your own understanding, but you acknowledge me, and I promise you, I will direct your path. I will make it straight. I will be there, and I will guide you as a shepherd does his sheep. Can you hear the voice of the shepherd talk to you? What's in your hand? What's in your hand? This story, if it did not happen, there would be no Exodus. There would be no Ten Commandments. There would be no nation of Israel. There would be no Messiah. There would be no death on the cross. There would be no church. And we would not be sitting here today. And you would not be listening to me in my Dockers. It would not happen if this never happened. If he never had thrown it down and picked it up so that things can come alive in him. It would have never taken place. You see that there is a plan and a purpose for Moses that carried on way beyond himself to even to lead us to today. What you are doing right now in your life will leave a legacy that could go on literally for 3,000 years. What is in your hand? What's in your hand? What are you holding on to right now that needs to be thrown down in your life? Is there anything that needs to be thrown down so he can make it come alive? As I close, something pretty cool happens here. Never again in all of the Bible is it called Moses' staff. Never again in all the Bible is it called Moses' staff. It's called the rod of what? God. The rod of God. It's no longer a shepherd's crook. Why? Because it's come alive. It's the rod of God. And God is going to use it. The rod of God was used all different types of miracles in Exodus. The 10 plagues. The Nile River turns to blood. He splits the Red Sea and he hits the rock when water comes out to fill a million thirsty Jews. The rod of God. What's in your hand? Lay it down. To be able to hear the voice of God, we must submit. We must be willing to humble ourselves before him to be able to see his glory. So, if you're awake still, what is the most important question God will ever ask you? Do you know that you are walking on holy ground? Do you know that you are walking on holy ground? You know, it wasn't the mountain that was holy. It wasn't the burning bush that was holy. It's not this church and the pews and the structure that makes this holy. What makes all of this holy, what made the ground that he was walking on, what made him take off his sandals to approach him and why he was on holy ground, because a holy God was there. Wherever you are, wherever you go, whatever you do, you are on holy ground. When you walk into the presence of a holy God, you'll hear God speak. So, church, what's in your hand? And are you desiring to be in the presence of God? Are you truly desiring to be in the presence of God today? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you and we thank you, Lord, for the small little story that actually changed everything. Moses, hearing your voice, would have been miraculous enough. But the fact that, God, that you wanted to do something miraculous in him makes the story even a little bit more sweeter. And I pray today, as we look at our own personal life, I pray that, God, we will ask the question, what is in our hand? What is dead in our life that needs to come alive? And so, Father, we ask that and we give that to you, because you tell us that, Lord, that we have to surrender it to you. We must humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. We must become bankrupt. We must be broken. We must be poor in the spirit. So that way, Lord, as we approach you, that we may be able to hear you. And as we begin to hear you, we will know that we are walking and in the presence of holy ground. We are in the presence of a holy God. And so we ask that, God, to be able to answer that question, the most important question, are we willing to walk on holy ground in your presence? Have we done that? And once we do that, I pray that we can lay everything in our life down and pick it up and let things come alive. For God, that we are all walking dead, and you make us born again, and you make us come alive in our life. And we give this to you today. I pray that this would be a church that lays things down for you and that truly desires to walk in your presence each day. May we give this time of invitation for anyone that needs to come forward to commit their lives to you, to rededicate their lives to you, or maybe just needs to talk to you and needs to be in your presence because maybe it's just been a while. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.